Hi, and welcome to First Bite, a nation's restaurant news podcast. I'm your host, Holly Petrie. Today is Monday, March 18th, and here are your top stories. First, menu tracker. New items from Starbucks, Taco Bell, and Wendy's. See what chains across the country added to menus this week. Second, Taco Bell makes a play for lunch traffic with new Cantina Chicken menu. Taco Bell's Cantina Chicken menu features 5 new items with new ingredients and a new avocado verde salsa. Third, Chick-fil-A's Little Blue menu concept adds pizza topped with the chain's nuggets. The College Park, Maryland location, which opened in September, will feature 5 new pizzas and a calzone-like offering, created in response to customers experimenting with these ingredients at home. Fourth, Florida Senate passes law protecting restaurants and consumers from third-party delivery services. The bill would require delivery apps to get permission from restaurants before arranging food pickups and provides communication options between consumers and restaurants. And finally, Rush Bowls uses tight control of supply chain and franchise standards to grow quickly. Founder and CEO Andrew Putilov shares how his expertise in national distribution has helped the brand accelerate growth. Now let's dive deeper into a trending story from our website. A U.S. federal judge in Texas blocked the broadened National Labor Relations Board joint employer rule that was introduced in October and would have made franchisees and franchisors jointly liable for labor terms and conditions, such as union contracts, pay, scheduling, and more. The rule, which was supposed to have gone into effect last week, would have revived and updated an Obama-era rule that was limited in scope during the Trump administration. In his decision, U.S. District Court Judge J. Campbell Barker called the expanded joint employer rule, quote, arbitrary and capricious, and said it would be, quote, contrary to law. The proposed joint liability rule was widely condemned by most of the restaurant and franchising industries, with franchisees worried about the proposed increased franchisor control over their business, and franchisors critical about the added fiscal and legal resources needed to comply with the rule. For more on this story, let's turn to Joanna Fantozzi.
All right, so Joanna, we have some updates on the joint employer rule. So tell us, it's kind of been floating around the government for a little bit, so tell us a little bit about what's going on with it.
This is pretty big news. We've been talking about joint employer for a while now. The National Labor Relations Board, they introduced this new rule back in October, and we've analyzed it and discussed it with both franchisees and franchisors who were both against it. And now, as it turns out, a federal judge in Texas has blocked the passage of the joint employer rule just one day before it was set to go into effect. And so as a refresher, the joint employer rule would have made both franchisees and franchisors, their parent companies, jointly liable for labor terms and conditions. So that would include things like pay, scheduling, unions and union contracts, and more. And so this rule, basically the point of this rule, and this has been really supported by more liberal and left-leaning sides of the federal government, and so would have revived and kind of updated an Obama-era rule that was then kind of limited during the Trump administration. It kind of, as is the case in general with the government, kind of swings back and forth depending on who is in the White House, who is in Congress. And so the reason why the left-leaning side of the federal government was really all about the joint employer rule is because allegedly it would make unionizing much easier. If you remember, it was such a big deal when restaurants, most notably Starbucks, started to unionize, and we started to see this trend again because it's unusual for restaurants to unionize because many, especially chain restaurants, because many of them are owned by franchisees. And so therefore they are individually owned and operated. And so you can't really unionize as a whole. And so it's much harder to unionize if you are an employee at a franchised restaurant. And so allegedly this joint employer rule would have made it a lot easier because both franchisees and franchisors would have been, like I said, jointly liable. However, the reason that this was really unpopular on both the franchisee side and the parent company side, this was basically unpopular across the restaurant and franchising industries. Because franchisees don't want to feel like, I spoke to a bunch of franchisees during previous coverage, And they basically don't want to feel like they're middle managers. They want to be able to feel like they actually own these stores and that they're not just babysitters for the franchisors. And the franchisors, on the other hand, they don't want to invest a ton of money, time, and effort into making sure that they can basically manage the labor at individual franchise stores. And so, like I said, this was unpopular. And so this is, at least from the restaurant industry's perspective, considered a win. However, it isn't over, but it isn't over until it's over, right? And the National Labor Relations Board said that they are going to take the route of appealing the judge's decision. And so besides the fact that they are appealing the judge's decision, there are also now legal challenges still in the courts that are being considered for the D.C. Circuit Court, and the Senate is also deliberating a Congressional Review Act resolution to overturn that new standard. It sort of seems like this might be the last that we have seen of the joint employer rule, but we still have to get through a bunch of legal decisions regarding the joint employer rule.
Now, you know, we have the Starbucks hearing at the Supreme Court this summer that deals with unionization as well. And it kind of sounds like the real gist of the joint employer rule was unionization. So how do these two play into each other, and what's kind of the outcome of both?
Yes and no. It depends on who you ask, right? Because according to franchisees and franchisors, really what they, for restaurant owners, they really just want to be able to have the independence to run their own restaurants. That is for them what the joint employer rule is about and threatens. Whereas, again, on the kind of more progressive side of the government, they are concerned that that this will limit the ability of employees at franchise restaurants to unionize. This is not to say that they cannot unionize. It's just to say that it is much more difficult to have a large-scale wave, like you saw at Starbucks, which is not franchised, or Chipotle to a much smaller degree. So then this does then correlate with Starbucks being seen at the Supreme Court. The purpose of Starbucks kind of going to the Supreme Court now, if you recall, they basically want to repeal that decision from the Memphis 7, who those employees that they had to rehire, and they already rehired these employees. So really, it's all about talking about the scope of the National Labor Relations Board's power. So if you really had to link these two legal cases together, it would be about the scope and scale of the National Labor Relations Board power, and how much they have the ability to shape labor relations and to shape unionization within this country. And again, this has a lot to do with who's in the White House and who's in Congress. And of course, this is an election year, so this could totally change. And if there's a new presidential administration or new Congress, a new class of Congress coming up, it could completely change. And so, again, we could have a fourth version of the joint employer rule. We had Obama's version, we had Trump's version, and we had Biden's version. And who knows, there could be a fourth version. And so I do think that it's possible that this is not This is not set in stone. It's very possible that joint liability might continue to be challenged by the National Labor Relations Board and by its supporters.
I guess my question is, do the politicians who are creating the joint employer rule know the restaurant's concerns? Because it sounds like it's more about unionization and they're not thinking as much about the financials and all of those things that the restaurants are really concerned about.
Just from a political standpoint, the left has really set themselves up for a long time as proponents of the workforce. Whereas the right has set themselves up as proponents of the business class, not only necessarily the rich people in power or the CEOs of the most powerful companies in the world, but also people that run a guy that owns one McDonald's store, or a guy that owns, one Burger King. So that it really is just two sides to this issue. And so like I said, I do think it will continue to be challenged both in the courts and legislatively.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode of First Bite. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new one. Until then, stay up to date with all your news at nrn.com.